Luke chapter 12. Now it says in the bulletin that we're starting a little bit later, but we're starting at verse 22, and I'm default for that because I gave Mandy some different information earlier in the week, so my bad, but it's right on the screen. It's correct on the screen. So, and if you're paging through your Bible anyway, you might as well go to Galatians chapter 6 as well, because we'll go right there after Luke chapter 12. And once again, we are combining two services today, essentially, because we had that cancellation a couple of weeks back. So now we're combining two themes today. But I think that you'll see how they combine rather well. So, from Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 22, then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? And since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or what you will drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And now from Galatians chapter 6, starting at verse 7. "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers." And that's as far as we'll read today. You may recall the weather this past Wednesday. You may not recall it, but you may recall it. I'll give you a recap of what that was like. Wednesday was an awful, bitter, cold day. It was snowing in the morning here. It was very windy. It was cold. The wind chill was up there, and it was just chilling you to the bone, and you really didn't feel like going outside at all. That was Wednesday. Now, not everybody got snow. If you were closer to the lake, you didn't really get a whole lot of snow. Further inland, you got a little bit of flurries, and we experienced some flurries here in the morning, at least, and some in the afternoon on Wednesday. This Thursday, however, was different. Thursday was still cool, still cold, but it was still, especially in the morning. And Thursday morning was a great morning to go out for a walk, which I normally do most days. And Thursday morning was brilliant. It was cool, it was clear, it was still, and it was a good morning for a walk. And as I looked eastward at that time of the day, I could see the glow of the beginnings of the daylight coming. The sunrise hadn't quite peaked yet. It takes a while for the sun to come up this time of year because we're almost at the shortest day of the year, of course. And as I kept on looking towards the east, I was anticipating the sunrise. And that's what Advent is all about. Advent is all about anticipating a different type of sunrise, an S-O-N rise, as a play on words. We are anticipating the coming of the Messiah, of Jesus. But as I was waiting for this spectacle to happen, where I could see the first little peaks of sunlight coming up over the horizon, like actually see the sun itself, I got to thinking about everything. Everything. So this sermon was a part of it. Other church work was a part of it. The people I needed to visit. The things I needed to do that day and the next day. The other stuff within the church, the different groups I needed to be with. The extra added stress of throwing on a few extra services this month. The struggles within to try to find time to get to all the different groups before Christmas happened. The different groups, like for me, the ministerial or the pastors from the CRC churches that I deal with all the time, and doing some stuff for the classes as well. Always these little things running through my head. And what it means at this time of year, especially when we're trying to get everything done before a certain time so that we can spend a few days, a few moments away from our regular responsibilities of the year. And then add family, of course. You got to throw family stuff in on top of it. And so the extended family stuff that we're going to do and the immediate family stuff that we have planned. And everything that surrounds all of it. And I began to think about it in such a way that I was dwelling on it. I was beginning to worry. Maybe you have this too at this time of year. There's so much going on. We are so inundated with stuff to do. And many of us are trying to dot all our I's and get all our T's crossed just before the season comes, so that we can get to that point where we can actually take a couple of days and spend it with our family and friends in the way that we want to spend it. Hopefully, if all the ducks line up. And if we dwell on it, then we're worrying. It's not that we don't have, not that we can't think about these things. It's not that we put these things out of our minds. But if we dwell on it, if they start to overtake our minds and start to overtake our very thoughts, then we are dwelling on it. And then we are worrying. It becomes a big thing. And that's what I felt this past Thursday. A big thing starting to come up. You know how when everything's jumbled together and then it looks like one big ball of stuff that you need to do? And you say, how am I ever going to get all this done? But in the Luke text today, Jesus himself is saying, don't worry about things. About the little things, like food and clothing. And I could say about the little things, like getting all of our ducks in a row before Christmas. Don't worry about it. And I love this text because it really doesn't take a whole lot to get what Jesus is saying. We don't need a big interpreter to figure it out. It just says it plain and simple. Take a look at the flowers of the field. Take a look at them. They're beautiful, right? Well, Solomon wasn't even dressed up like one of these guys. So, and God takes care of it. And God takes care of the flowers, and God takes care of the birds, and you are worth way more than all of that. So why don't you believe that God's going to take care of you? Don't worry about the little stuff. But then Jesus says in the text, the reason why. In verse 32 of Luke 12, he says, your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. This is why you don't sweat the little stuff. You have this huge thing, big, huge thing called the kingdom. And you're worried about the little things, like how beautiful the tree looks, or whether you're going to have enough napkins at your Christmas dinner. The kingdom, of course, is Jesus. We know that, right? We are given the gift of Christ. Jesus said it himself in Luke chapter 4. He alludes to that in Luke 4 as he's just beginning his ministry, and he goes to the synagogue in Galilee, in Nazareth. And he goes there and he reads passages from Isaiah. And as he reads the passages, then he rolls up the scroll and he hands the scroll back to the attendant and he tells everybody there, he says, this has now been fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, when Isaiah is prophesying about the kingdom coming, I am the result of the prophecy. It's here. It's with you right now. That's me. So he's saying the kingdom has come. And God has been pleased to give us the kingdom. That's what we find out in today in Luke chapter 12. And so we got this big, huge gift that is given to us, and we are worried about the little things. I think we all know what that's like. Maybe you've done this for your children, maybe as an aunt or an uncle, you've done this for your nephew or niece. You get them this lovely gift, you know? The one that they've been looking for, this beautiful gift. It's sort of expensive. And you're really stretching yourself a little bit to give it, but you want to give it anyway. And so you give the child the gift, and you actually help him or her unwrap it at the, and they're all happy, and they're going, wow, look at the gift. It's so beautiful. And so you move on with the day a little bit, and you take a look a little bit later, and what is the child playing with? The box. He's playing with the box. The gift wrapping, the packaging that it all came in. Here the child has this huge, expensive gift, the one that he wanted. And here, he's now sitting there playing with the box because it's fascinating him. It's the same thing what Luke is saying today. Do not worry and do not be deceived by the gift, the packaging, because we have the gift. And that is what Paul is saying as well in Galatians. He's saying essentially the same thing, only Paul's saying it more in the way of a warning. He's saying, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. You think God knows that you're playing with the box instead of looking forward to the kingdom? God knows it very well. And Paul talks about it like this. He says, whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction, but whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. In other words, whoever is continuing to play with the box and worrying and worrying about all of this, he is the one who is going to reap destruction. Destruction. I didn't write it. Paul wrote it. Yet the one who keeps on looking towards Christ, the one who never stops looking towards Jesus and looking at everything through the lens of Christ is going to reap eternal life. And so you do have a choice. Eternal life or destruction. And this is the warning of Paul. But then Paul also adds this little caveat to it. He says, so let's not grow weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So let's not grow tired in doing good. I actually had the chance to, usually this is what I do, is when a certain word comes up, then I know what it means, but it helps to know other words that are synonyms to it, other words that mean the same thing. And as I was looking up weary, I came up with fatigue, overtiredness, and a good church word, burnt out. It's a synonym to weariness. So maybe we could replace it a little bit. We could say, let's not get burnt out by doing the good work of God. Let's not get burnt out by looking at the packaging and not looking at Christ. Let's keep on looking towards God. Let's keep on pointing towards God because He is the gift that is given to us. He is the kingdom, and the kingdom was given to us, and the Father is pleased to give us the kingdom. And God will help us always get through our weariness. And we know that from Isaiah chapter 40. And I'll read that for you. This is also another prophecy of Christ coming. Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Now, we know that even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will run and not get burnt out. They will run and not be fatigued, because the Lord will renew the strength. We're looking at weariness. We're looking at being worried at this time of year. It happens sometimes when we are in our time of waiting. But in our time of waiting, let us not lose hope that God will continue to give us the strength that He does. We're waiting for the gift, this wonderful and precious gift of Christ. Let us not be bedazzled by the packaging. Let us be in awe of the gift itself. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, once again, as we wait during this Advent season, we are amazed at what You are doing. And we thank You, God, that we can be focusing on You. Help us to do that with everything going on in our lives, with all of it just hanging in the balance. Let us not fall prey to that, but let us seek You out first. And let us understand that everything else will fall into place when we look toward you. Help us not to be fooled, but help us to be renewed with the renewal that only you can give, so that we can properly honor you as our Lord and as our Savior. Amen. We'll rise. We'll sing a song of response.